People. Nothing untoward, except that shepherds saw angels and astrologers a star. And they came to the manger or house and saw Jesus and worshipped with joy. But the innkeeper, well, it was for him just a very busy but ordinary night. And King Herod, well, he saw a possible threat to his status, but most people were blissfully unaware that anything particular had happened. But this was the night, the most earth-shattering night ever. God came to dwell with us as a vulnerable baby. The Word became flesh, and BC became AD, as you see in your newspapers at the top of every page, every day. God took human form to reveal himself to us in a way we can understand, or at least begin to. But what was he revealing? What is God's nature? We get mixed messages in the Old Testament. We have sacrifices offered. I mean, Cain's is rejected because the fiery lights, well, we reckon the smoke goes horizontally rather than straight up. I wouldn't have had a cat in hell's chance if fire was involved in lighting bonfires, because the last time I lit a bonfire was the most stupid thing I'd ever done in my life. Soon after I'd moved into 21 Kestrel Road, the first summer, the honeysuckle that is fairly rampant now was terribly rampant. So a friend of mine, Roger, not Roger Bank, this was another one, said, well, let's cut it down and burn it. So we cut it down, untangled it from the whatever, and discovered to our horror then we couldn't actually get it through the side gate because it was too big and we didn't want to spend more time chopping the stuff up. So he said, well, let's burn it on the front path. So he piled it on the front path. Charlie wasn't around then, just as well. And lit it. And it was a calm day, I thought. No, no problems. And it went up. I went upstairs onto the landing, and the flames were coming higher than the landing. And I thought, please, let it stop soon. You know, the police will be along or anything like that. And it wasn't quite so calm as I'd thought. So burning embers drifted into next door but one's garden where washing was on the line. They were not best pleased. I suppose I took a bit of a sacrifice around later in the year. I took round some plums from the plum trees, but we got on fine there. But no, me and fire would be in disaster. They didn't just, of course, make light bonfires just for the fun of it. We had sacrifices in the Old Testament, doves and animals, to try to keep God on side. That's what people did in those days, to placate a probably angry God, to curry favour with him. After all, they believed in those days that he wanted them to slaughter enemies. If you look in 1 Kings 19, the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you know, after the event, the prophets of Baal are rounded up and Elijah says, don't let even one of them get away, and they're slaughtered. Now, if God was like that, he's certainly to be feared. There are, though, hints in the Old Testament that God actually isn't like that. We read of his constant love and compassion, that he doesn't want the normal sacrifices, but does want people to be just, merciful, and walk humbly with him. He wants to write his law in their hearts. In fact, in one place, he actually wants to put a new heart in people. And those are amazing insights. But I reckon the Old Testament jury is out on God's nature. And a carol does mention, doesn't it, has the line, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And Jesus' birth, you know, is to be feared if he comes to reveal a God of wrath and anger who's always on our case. We don't want him dwelling with us, do we? When your house next door goes up for sale, we hope we don't get the neighbours from hell moving in. Well, if God is a God of wrath and anger, we don't want him coming to dwell with us. But, of course, it isn't like that. Instead, as his life proceeds, Jesus shows us utterly and crystal clear that God is love. I have to get this in. This is London Road. This is the official programme of Peterborough United, of course. And the chaplain was given a full page spread. And among what he says is, as the centre of all the carols, the school nativity plays and the worship of the churches at Christmas is God's giving to us, the Christ child in the Bethlehem stable, the gift of love held for us in a fragile baby. It's an amazing focus for our celebrations in the next few days. The exact details are not important, but what is the gift of love for us all. Now, the Reverend Richard Longfoot was quite right. The gift of love, of God's love for us all. We read that he so loved the world. And he comes not to condemn, but to transform and redeem. Fear, all fear, the fear that led them in Old Testament times to make sacrifices to keep God on side, is cast out by perfect love. We read in the New Testament, there is no fear in love. And it seems to me that this is wonderful, tremendous news, because it blows sky high any ideas of a nasty, vindictive God. We know him now to be a God who is always on our side, offering himself to us, offering to transform us and communities and indeed our world. Our reading from Colossians said his love can bind all things together in perfect harmony. We see odd hints of that sometimes with the peace process in Northern Ireland, where Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley, who were sworn enemies, actually worked together. We see it in South Africa too, and in the Berlin Wall coming down and things like that. And this seems to me as well a most appropriate message for a service of prayer for Christian healing, that God's love can bind all things together. And the rest of the Colossians reading takes up the theme. It links God's love to living. It isn't just pie in the sky, a wish list of impossible dreams, you know, that you get in party political manifestos, don't you? We will work towards a strong economy, you know, wealth for all and world peace, which are wonderful things, but how to do it might be a bit different. Rather, Colossians says that we're dearly loved by God. So his compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience can reach us, and we can be channels for them in all our relationships, the easy and the difficult. The reading tells us we're to forgive as God forgives us. And it tells us some very ordinary, down-to-earth things to do. We are to bear with one another and forgive grievances. That's not so easy, of course, when differences irritate us, as they so easily do. We say that the world would be a dull place if everybody was like us. But when we come against people who think and act differently from ourselves, you have to take a step back and not get frustrated. You know, it is terribly difficult not to do that. But we are to try and do it, because we're members of one body called to peace. So if you and I can be God's people by living these ordinary changes, the effect can spread out like ripples from a pebble thrown into a pond. The Methodist Christmas Communion Thanksgiving has this phrase in it, or these few couple of sentences. It says, may your spirit draw us together in the one body of Christ, so that we may have life in all its fullness, live in your love, and fill creation with a song of never-ending praise. So your life and my life and our life together, as God's Spirit draws us together, can help to fill creation, this lovely picture, with a song of never-ending praise. You know, can change things, can make the whole world more like God's kingdom. It seems to me this is really liberating. We're not hemmed in by fear. We don't have to be afraid to sort of be ourselves, because God's Spirit sets us free to be children of our loving God. So life can be an adventure. As Dennis Stamp said at one of our Thursday evening meetings, some of us a bit old perhaps to want adventure in life. I know Sir Ranulph Fiennes is walking across Antarctica in the middle of winter, isn't he? I think he's mad, but, you know, that's just me. He's made like that. But perhaps spiritually, that's the sort of thing it's worth doing, to be open to doing things, so that our lives can be a daily discovery of the goodness and greatness of our loving God in whatever ways he wants it to be for you and for me. And it won't be the same. But let's go for it now. And in 2013. Amen. Amen.